right. How many want to grow in wisdom? Anybody want to grow in wisdom today? I didn't hear you. Anybody want to grow in wisdom today? Come on now. I don't know about you, but I want to be wise. I want the Holy Spirit to make me wise beyond my years. I need wisdom. I can tell you, without God's wisdom, it's impossible to do the task that God has for me. And all of us need this godly wisdom. So we have been, throughout the series, we are dropping some really heavy truths, and we are bringing some great revelation and just nice teaching to come along to help you grow in your wisdom, because we want you to walk with the wise. We want you to be wise. We want you to walk as a wise person, because we believe that as a Christian, you have the ability to be wise beyond your years. And that comes through revelation, through the Holy Spirit, to let us walk in this godly wisdom that will allow us to walk above the fray. We can walk above the noise with a godly wisdom. And today we're going to talk about using our words with wisdom. Using our words with wisdom. How many know that, man, I don't want to ask you this, but how many know somebody who doesn't use their words very wisely? Okay, anybody know that? Don't look at your spouse, look at me, okay? How many know somebody? Yeah, we all know somebody, and that's probably been most of us in this room at some point in our life, right? We've chosen to use our words not in the wisest manner. This message today, if I do my job, will offend everybody, okay? I just tell you right now, we're all going to get our toes stepped on from the pulpit all the way to every chair in here today, because this thing about using our words with wisdom is something we can all grow in. Now, about a year ago, I did a whole series on the power of our words, and this is a little bit different because I want to give you some practicality. How do we use these words with wisdom? How do we use them in a way that allows us to be wise? But before we can do that, we must establish the content that our words are so powerful. Proverbs 18:20-21 says, death and life, right, are found in the power of the tongue. Our tongue is powerful. Let's say that. Our tongue is powerful, right? Death and life. You're either speaking death or you're speaking life. We got to understand there's power in our words. Matter of fact, look at this statement. Our words are nuclear. Man, our words are nuclear in the realm of the spirit. Man, you have the ability to blow things up. You can blow up the plans of the enemy over your life with the word of the Lord. When you speak those words of God over with authority over your life, over your home, over your children, over your marriage, you can speak those things to them. They have nuclear power. But they can also do the reverse. They can also destroy your marriage. Your words can also destroy relationships. They can also destroy your reputation. And so, man, words are so powerful. They're very nuclear. You know, in Matthew 12, Jesus has a lot to say about it. And go back and read that on your own. Go back and read Matthew 12 this week, and you'll see Jesus had a lot to say about our words. He says, our mouths, man, they're just the fruit of our heart. He says, what's in our heart comes out of our mouth. What's in our heart comes out of our mouth. I've had people tell me, well, I didn't really mean to say that. If you could just see my heart. You ever heard someone say it before? If you can just see my heart, I'm really not a bad person. Well, I can see your heart because I can hear it. You know, there's a difference between maybe, you know, you said something in the heat of the moment that you didn't mean and asking for forgiveness, but someone who's constantly letting venom and evil things come out of your mouth, abusive talk, someone who's constantly putting things out there. Listen, it's in your heart. That's why it's coming out. The Bible made it very clear. Jesus said, out of our mouth comes our heart. And then he tells us, we'll have to give an account. We'll have to give an account for all the words that we speak. See, it's the power of our words. It's with our words that we become righteous. We got to believe it in our heart, and then we activate that with the words we speak. I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's word activated, right? It's word activated. My salvation happens when not only I believe it truly in my heart, but it's mouth activated. I must speak it out. I must say it. I must come into agreement with it. Our words are so powerful. Not just one-time thing to help us at salvation, but our words continue to put us into agreement with what God's wanting to do in our life, or they're also separating us from what God's wanting to do in our life. And God says, listen, you're going to be accountable for all these words you're speaking. Pay attention to what you're doing. Look, our words, Listen, they're excessive. Man, our words are excessive in their influence in our life. Nothing will influence our life more than our words and the words of others. I mean, there's people in this room who are still dealing with baggage from negative words spoken to you as a child. And we have a hard time. Why? Because words really matter. And words can hurt. And words can do damage. And words can bring pain. And we know this to be that words are very excessive. I mean, they really weigh a lot. To make this true, look at this verse here in James. James 3, verse 2 through 6. For we all stumble in many things, right? If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man. Is there anybody perfect here today? No. The Bible says there's only one perfect, that was Jesus. So all of us have stumbled with our words. This person who's perfect, he can bridle their whole body. Indeed, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Also, the ships, although they are large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a force of a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire. Come on, I like that. The tongue is a fire. If you don't realize that, the tongue is fire. A world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. It sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by what? Hell. Now look at your neighbor and say, only you can prevent forest fires. Right? Come on. He says our tongue, it's so small, but man, that spark can burn up a million acres. He said that small tongue, like a small rudder, can lead a giant cruise ship with a small rudder. It's powerful. The bit in the horse's mouth is small, but it can lead that big, big horse. Why? Because our tongue is that powerful in our life. It's really, really powerful. And as I read that, I begin to think about, you know, it says our tongue is set fire. So think about it. Hell is wanting to set my words on fire. Hell is wanting to set my words on fire. Why? Because if he can set my words on fire, he can burn my marriage up. He can burn relationships up. He can destroy my relationship with my children. He can destroy my reputation. He can destroy my job. Hell is wanting to set fire to your words. Do you see this? Hell is constantly wanting to put fire to our words. Hell is constantly wanting to put fire to our words. You got to realize this. This is what hell is wanting to do. He's wanting to put fire to our words. Why? So that we'll catch things on fire, and not in a good way. He wants me to destroy my marriage with my words. He wants me to destroy my relationships with my words. He wants me to destroy my influence with my words. Hell is constantly doing this. But on the other hand, if you're a Christian today, I want you to know today that you've also been given another tool. It's called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, this is just water, so don't let anybody duck today, okay? Water. The Holy Spirit comes along and says this, I want you to use your words to put out the fire. When you see words of fire coming, you have the power of the Holy Spirit with your words to put that fire out. Oh, let me put it another way. You can also come along. I can either destroy with my words, or I can water and plant and water and grow and nurture. I can either set fire to my marriage with my words, or I can water with my words. They both have power, don't they? And if I listen to the Holy Spirit gives me wisdom of when to put the words out. The Holy Spirit gives me wisdom on speak encouragement. Speak out the good, to bring out the good, to focus on the good things of God. And I can constantly be watering things that God has for me. But instead, often, too often, we let the hell come along and light our words on fire and then wonder why everything's burning up. Could it be we haven't learned how to control our mouth? Now, I'm preaching a little better than you're saying amen this morning. But don't wait. If I haven't offended you yet, I will in just a minute, okay? Don't worry. I told you I'm going to offend everybody before we leave today. So keeping that in mind today, let me give you five things. I want to give you five unwise Okay, the unwise. Five unwise ways we use our words. Not that it relates to anybody in this room, but I've heard people who have done this before. Five unwise ways we use our words. Number one, the Bible talks about a lying and bearing false witness. Those who slander against other people. Wow. You want to be unwise? Begin to lie on people. Bear false witness. Slander other people. Proverbs 6, look what it says, verse 16 through 19. These six things God hates. I mean, God hates these things. He says, those who give a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift to running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. I mean, out of the six, three of them that God hates has to do with our mouth, telling lies, bearing false witness, speaking discord. I mean, God really hates it when people lie. He hates it. He hates it. And the unwise will spot off lies. Well, if it helps me grow, if it helps me look better, if it helps me get the promotion, if it makes me look better in people's eyes, no, that's the unwise. The unwise allow lies to come out of their mouth. The unwise allow slander to come out of your mouth. I'm slandering somebody else. I don't like them. Make me mad, so I'm going to talk bad about them. That's the unwise. Number two, we just read it. One who sows discord. Listen, those who sow discord, divisiveness. It's unwise. The unwise who do this. I've seen people that I know that if you just follow their life, you can look and everywhere they go, discord will follow them. Maybe not right away. But eventually, if you keep an eye and track on them, everywhere they go, you'll see discord follows them. Why? There's a common denominator there, right? Hey, Pastor Joe and Jen did an awesome job last week, and I think they talked about that common denominator was what? Me, you, right? We can follow that common denominator. Certain people that you go, they just seem to sow discord wherever they're at. No matter what church they're in, they're going to sow discord. No matter what group of friends they're in, they're going to sow discord. The unwise bring division. The unwise sow discord. Listen, number one, don't be that person who sows discord. Number two, don't hang out with people who sow discord. That's the unwise. The Bible says when you walk with those unwise people, you become as a fool. Don't hang out with people who are sowing discord, always trying to divide, always trying to divide the break room, always trying to divide the workforce, always trying to get people mad at the boss or mad at this person. I mean, don't hang out with those kind of people. Don't be that kind of person who's always trying to divide people. Get them on my side. Get everybody liking me better. Don't sow discord. Don't slander. Number three, don't gossip, right? Oh, yeah. Don't gossip. I know nobody has a problem with that in this room, but still, for the church down the street, don't gossip, right? Proverbs 20:19, look what it says about gossip. A gossip betrays confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. Look at the next verse here. 16:28, a troublemaker plants seed of strife. A gossip separates the best of friends. If you're here today and say, Pastor, I wonder why I can't keep a best friend. If you ever wonder why maybe you can't keep good friends, I have a hard time keeping good friends. I'm just throwing this out there. Maybe it could be, I want to give you some wisdom today. Maybe it could be that you allow yourself to gossip too much. Because gossip will separate the best of friends. And the Bible says we are to avoid anyone who talks too much. And when it was talking about this, remember what it says? It's talking about the gossip person. Let me tell this to you. If they will gossip to you, let me let you know this. They will gossip about you. If they will, I like being around. They always tell me all the gossip. But let me tell you, when you're not around, they're gossiping about you too. I didn't think about that. Yes, it's true. That's why as Christians, we're called to rise above it. We're called to rise above the gossip. We're called not to slander. We're called not, but it was true. It doesn't give you permission to share it. So I was just explaining, I was through a prayer request. Listen, don't use God for a reason to gossip all the time, okay? I know there's sometimes it's necessary to share something with somebody in confidence. But we got to check our heart. How many times are we just sharing it because we want to share the information? How many times are we just sharing it because we want to pass that on to make the other person look bad? Or we want to brag on what we know bad about that person? You guys are being awful quiet today. Come on now. I promise you, ladies, no husband sent me a text before church. Okay? I'm just preaching the word of the Lord. Come on, guys. I promise you, your wife didn't tell me to preach you on this. All right? Turn to your neighbor and say, don't gossip. Stop it. Stop it. It's easy to get into. Okay? But listen, the unwise are gossipers. The unwise, I want you to be wise. Wise people raise above that. I think I've told you this before, that there was a time in my life when I had to separate ourselves from people who were gossipers. And my ministry was stagnated. My marriage was stagnated. And it wasn't until I left that gossiping group of people that we was able to start growing again. It will, listen, God, hanging around gossip affects you. Even if you're not the one spreading it, just being around gossipers will bring you down. That spirit of heaviness will begin to attach itself to you. Run from it. Get away from it. Avoid it. And don't be that person. Check your heart. Check your mouth. Come on now. Number four, cursing. I know none of us have this problem, right? All right. Cursing. The Bible talks about cursing. Their throat is an open tomb. Their tongue, look at this. Look at this in Romans 3:13. Their talk is foul. They're like stench. From the tomb, from the open grave. People who curse, their talk is foul, and it stinks. Like someone who's been dead for a long time. It goes, their tongues are filled with lies. In case you don't get the whole story, it says, and snake venom drips from their lips, whose mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Now, today, I know there's a lot of words we could say that, is this cursing? Is it not cursing? One of the words that's probably looked upon as a small cuss word that we use a lot is the word damn. And we don't think a lot about it sometimes, and it can be something that happens. But do you realize that what that actually means? Ever look up the definition of the word damn? It means to condemn by God to suffer eternal punishment in hell. And we can very easily get so immune to that, and we can say my D kids, or my D job, or my D husband, or my D leg is hurting me today. Why would I want to send anybody to eternal damnation in hell? Especially the ones I love. Especially myself. Think about it, man. We use it so flippantly. So what I would tell you this, if you use a curse word and you're not instantly convicted, you got a problem. Listen, I grew up playing a lot of sports, and man, I had a lot of foul language I was raised with. And when God saved me, it took a while for my filter to get where it needed to be. And now I have a God filter that helps me filter out my language. But I can tell you, if something happens too quickly, it can bypass the filter and come out of my white mouth in an unwholesome way. You know what I'm talking about, right? When that car comes out of nowhere and hits you. And your kids look at you like, Dad, I never heard you use that language before. I'm like, son, I'm sorry, you know. Woo, Dad just used that. I'm sorry, I had to apologize. Why? It just happened fast. Listen, we can all be there. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is when we lose consciousness of what we're saying, and we're damning things and we're cursing things all the time, and it doesn't bother us. No, the wise don't do that. The wise realize the power of my words. The wise realize that God has a better plan for the words of my life. My words should be bringing life. My words should be speaking life and blessing, not damnation and cursing. There you go. Thank you for that one hand. Thank you, Ralph. I appreciate it right there. Come on now. You think that's good? All right. Why is that? Because, let me just give you another practical way. Ralph, if we're at work, and man, Ralph, I'm in the lunchroom. Ralph, you need to come to church with me. Ralph, you need to, man, you need to come and see how God's changed my life. Ralph, you need to come to church. Man, you need to get your family in church, Ralph. My family's been changed. And then 15 minutes later, right back out on the work floor, and all he hears out of my mouth is GD this and this and that and that. How much do you think I really have influenced him, right? No. It destroys our witness. Come on now. It makes us all look bad. Learn to tame your tongue. It's like, Pastor, that's hard for me to do. Well, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit can do it. He did it for me, and he can do it for you. I'm telling you, when you give control of your mouth to the Holy Spirit, he can take that tongue and allow life to come out of it and cursing to stop and die off in Jesus' name. Anybody can testify to that? Amen? The unwise curse like it's no big deal. And number five, the unwise use hurtful and hateful speech. The unwise use hurtful and hateful speech. Ephesians 4, look what it says. Verse 29 through 31. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Get rid of all bitterness, the rage, the anger, the harsh words, the slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. This is something God's wanting us to get rid of in our life. He wants us to get rid of this kind of hurtful speech in our life. He wants us to get rid of our mouths should be full of encouragement. All right, there we go. All right, let's get to some good things now. All right, number five. Let me give you this tip, five things. We're going to close out with this. Five wise ways now. That's the wrong way. Let's look at the wise ways to protect our words. I'm going to give you five wise ways to protect your words. Number one, don't respond too quickly. Don't respond too quickly to the comments of another person, especially when you're hurt or angry. You know, we have people who are really quick to respond to another person, especially when you're hurt and angry. Listen, the wise settles down. Look at this scripture, Proverbs 18:13. Spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. Foolish is the opposite of wise, isn't it? So when I speak too soon without listening to all the facts, one thing I've realized over the years, there's always two sides to every story, right? And sometimes we can get emotional and say things we'll regret later when we hear that, oh, there was another side to the story. I should have held my tongue. I should have held my words and got all the facts before I responded. Why? Because there's always two sides to every story. And the wisdom says slow down and listen to all sides. Wisdom says listen to all the facts. Don't just spout off. You look foolish when you do that. It's crazy what happens there. Number two, don't respond in the same spirit to an angry or an abusive words. Don't respond the same way. Don't respond that same exact way. You know, we got to make sure we're responding in the correct way. Jesus said it in Luke chapter 6. But I say to you, listen to what he says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. And Jesus said, bless those who curse you. Wow. I will tell you this, it's the last thing I want to do is bless somebody who's cursing me. Because when someone starts cursing me, my blood starts to boil. And every man cell in my body stands up and wants to get back in that face of that person and challenge everything about their manhood. That's my natural man. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? That's what we feel. But the Bible, Jesus says this, I've called you to rise above that. Now, I want you to, being a Christian, Jesus challenges us to go beyond everyday people, and he says, I want you to rise above that. This is how everybody else responds, but I want you to respond the opposite. I want you to learn how to bless those who curse you. Wow! That's hard. But I'm telling you, when you can ever get this down, it's a life changer. It's a game changer. I can't tell you how many people that cursed me that I blessed and it changed the relationship around. How many people that were cursing me and I blessed and it stopped the cursing. It defused the situation. There's been times when, man, I had somebody cut me off and tell me I'm number one in traffic and pull over, and I follow them to the station. I'm ready to get out of my car and let them know exactly what I'm feeling. And I get out, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit hits me. And I walk up, and I'm like, I want to let you know I'm sorry if I cut you off out there. Even though I know I wasn't the person at fault. And all of a sudden you can see them going from ready to fight to, they feel like an idiot then. Oh, yeah. That's okay. Yeah, no big deal. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, too. Was that wisdom? What was unwise if being get out there in a fist fight and all of a sudden your pastor's on the front page of the paper? Or some video being passed around? That would have been really stupid, wouldn't it? What an idiot I would have been. But wisdom says, no, bless those who curse you. Why? Because it defuses the situation and it puts you on a place where God can use you. I'm telling you, this is the way God is calling us to live our life, with wisdom. He says, don't respond in the same spirit. If somebody comes at you mad, don't respond mad. If somebody comes at you trying to bring you down, you don't respond trying to bring them down. That's what he says. Somebody's being abusive with their words, because I don't want you to be abusive back. It takes a lot, doesn't it? Number three, don't talk too much. Don't talk too much. Anybody had this problem? Don't talk too much. Anybody want to raise your hand and say, I've had this problem before? Yeah, okay. Don't talk too much. Wise people don't talk too much. And what I mean by this, it means simply this, that don't always feel like you got to talk. When somebody's coming to you, I don't have to make myself look good by talking all the time. We all know people that, man, you go to them and you try to talk about a problem or talk about a situation, and they always got to jump in, right? Always got to talk. Always got to give their 2 cents. Sometimes being a great friend and being a wise person is simply knowing to shut up, close our mouth, and just be a good listener for once. It's not about you. It's about sometimes people just need somebody they can talk to who will simply say, I want to listen to you. I tell you, that's half of being a good counselor, is just learning how to listen to people. People need somebody to talk to who will listen to them. And the Bible says the wise people, they learn not to talk too much. Proverbs 17:27 and verse 28. He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is a calm spirit. But even a fool looks wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. Don't you like that? I mean, what a perceptive person. What a wise person. Why? Because they kept their mouth shut. But the Bible says, if we'll just learn to keep our mouth shut, you'll look so much wiser than what you really are. Even if you are kind of foolish, he says, you're going to look wise just simply because you learned to keep your mouth shut. I think I've shared this story before, but it's such great advice. My first year in college, man, I was going, and I had just gotten saved that summer. God turned my life around. I went to study, begin to study. I was like, all right, if God's calling me to do something with my life. So I was with these people who've been preaching like since they were five. Ain't no lie. I mean, these people could preach. And I was like, oh my God, I don't even know like the books of the Bible yet. And these people like preaching like these big sermons and like holding revivals. And, you know, I was like, man, I felt so inferior. And they always had all the right answers. And I was like, I don't know anything. I felt really dumb. And I had an instructor tell me one time, he said, listen, he goes, the best advice I could ever give you is keep your mouth shut. He goes, there's a lot of people in this school who think they know everything, and they'll gladly tell you. He goes, but the best advice I can give you is keep your mouth shut until somebody asks you a question, and then you have something of substance to share. But what great advice. Keep your mouth shut. Let God do the work on the inside, and when the time's right, you'll have an open opportunity to share what you need to share. It's been a life changer. It was a life changer for me. It was such wisdom. As we learn, don't talk too much. I know this is very practical, right? But the Bible says this is how the wise live their life. Number four, don't brag or praise on yourself, right? Listen, wise people don't do this. Wise people don't brag or praise on yourself. Proverbs 27:2, let another man praise you, not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips. In case nobody's told you today, let me be the first one to break it to you. Nobody likes somebody who brags on himself all the time. If you didn't know this, I want to give you the revelation. Nobody likes the person who's always bragging on himself. You know what I'm talking about. If you caught a fish, they caught one bigger. If your car's fast, theirs was faster. If you had two girlfriends in high school, they had four. If you got a raise, well, they got that raise 2 years ago. It's always a bragging. Listen, wise people realize I don't have to brag on myself because God will exalt the humble. And so let other people brag on you. Listen, there's nothing wrong with responding in truth. If somebody asks you a question, that you can share something you achieved, nothing wrong with that at all. But don't feel like you have to always be the one going around tooting your own horn. Don't go around praising yourself or bragging on yourself. Nobody likes that person. Nobody likes being around that person. No one likes being in conversation with that person. And you're looked at as a fool instead of being wise. Wise people. You know what? When you know somebody and you meet somebody and later on you find out something big about them, you're like, whoa, how much more impressive is it when you found out, I was just talking to that person. They never once told me that they owned that or they achieved that or they used to be play pro ball. They used to do that, all these things that they never once told you that and you found it out later. How much more were you impressed? How much more were you impressed? This just happens. Don't brag on yourself. And the last thing I want to give you today, number five, the wise people. Listen, if you're wise, you're not going to respond to the words of a foolish person or try to convince them that you're right. Look at Proverbs 26:4. Don't answer the foolish arguments of the fools, or you will become as foolish as they are. I wonder why I look like a fool. Because you're hanging out with fools. You're arguing with fools. I think we see this all the time, don't we? Let's be honest. There's not a day goes by on social media and we don't see people making this big mistake right here. Don't waste your time trying to argue with fools. You're not going to win any argument on Facebook. Let me just tell you that, okay? And let me put it to you another way. The closer we get to the political season, you're going to see this more and more and more and more again. There's nothing wrong with stating how you believe. But don't get in this long argument, people. You're not going to change anybody's mind on social media. You're not going to win any argument on social media. All the things that's going to happen is you're going to make yourself look like a fool. Well, that person's foolish. I need to set them straight. Well, they may look like a fool, and everybody who reads it can tell that and read that and understands that. People aren't dumb. We look and see that person's a fool. But what's even more foolish when somebody spends 3 days going back and forth arguing with the same person? And the thread's a mile long. Well, I had to set them straight. No, you don't. Just don't hang out with the fools. Just let it go. Just let it go. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, just let it go. That's being wise. Do you receive this today? Are you growing in wisdom? Are you receiving this word today from the Lord? I'm telling you, this will change your life. This will bring wisdom upon the Lord from you and allow you to walk in the wisdom of the Lord. I want you to bow your heads as you do today. I want to ask you the question that we ask almost every week here. And we just want to make sure you're here today. All wisdom starts at the fear of the Lord, the knowledge of the fear of the Lord. And part of that is simply this. Have you ever asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior? If you're here today, say, Pastor, I haven't. I believe in Jesus. Well, the Bible says that's an important part of it. We must believe. But it also says we must, with our words, confess it, that Jesus Christ is Lord of our life. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to make sure you have that chance before you leave today. This is the most important thing we can ever do with our words. The wisdom to know that He is Lord, I am not, and I need a Savior, and I need to accept what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. And with everybody just bowing your heads, nobody looking but me, we won't do anything to single you out or embarrass you. I just want to make sure you're here today if you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Can you just raise your hand where I can see it? See, that's me, Pastor. I'm ready to accept Jesus. Raise it high for me to see. Come on. If that's you today, I want to make sure I don't miss it. All right, let's do this. It's across the room today. Let's all stand across the room. And as we do, how many say, Pastor, I want to be wise in my words. Anybody here want to raise your hand and say, Pastor, man, you were preaching to me at least one or two of these points today. We're really getting home to me. Right. Come on. All of us today. We don't escape this. I would tell you, how do you overcome it? Submitting my mouth to the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will filter your mouth. The Holy Spirit will give you wisdom beyond your years. Let's simply do this. Let's open up our hands to the Lord. Father, I thank you that God, you are giving us wisdom today through the instructions of your word. I pray today that wisdom would be poured out upon us and we would use this wisdom. May it impart into our life today to make us wise beyond where we're at. God, may our words be used with the filter of wisdom. God, may the Holy Spirit grow us in wisdom today. We submit now my mouth to the Holy Spirit today. I submit my words to the Holy Spirit today. I submit my life to the Holy Spirit today. Father, use my words. Guide my words. Use me in Jesus' name. Come on, let's declare this out of our mouth today. Today, I want you to raise your hands. I want to pray with you one more time before you leave today. Father, I thank you that God, you're raising up people of wisdom. I declare that God, we will be wise beyond our years. And God, I pray and come against everything that sets fire to our tongue. We come against the spirit of the enemy, which is trying to destroy our relationships, destroy our reputation, destroy things in our life. God, I pray right now that we will be life-speaking people. Full of wisdom, full of building, Lord, full of building people up. God, speaking and watering, Lord, putting out fires. God, I pray that you will raise up a people who are wise, And God, you are using them in a wise way. And Father, I thank you that, God, we are going to grow in Jesus' name. And we say yes and amen. If you receive that word, put your hands together and say, God, I receive that word over my life today. Listen, we love you. Parents, help me get your junior high and high school is here, the DCY. I can't wait to see you tonight. God bless you. We love you. Have a great week.